Sarah Crooks. Good morning and welcome. Thanks very much for coming in, and thanks for putting in the original submission, which we've read, so you don't need to read that original one out for us. But I see you've tabled something. Were you happy to lead us through that?
Yeah, just a brief. So, I'm Jonathan, this is Sarah. We're sheep and beef farmers. We farm at Windenside near Waikaia. It property is 730 hectares. And it's just shy of 6,000 stock units of sheep and beef. The property is of easy to rolling nature, so we're classed in the hill country zone, and our elevation is from 200 metres to the house, rising to around 500 metres out the back in some in our more extensive country. So out the back we boundary Dunlapper station, and moonlight is on the other side. We've been farming the property for 15 years. My parents originally farmed at Mabel Bush, and in that time, in that 15 years, we've increased the stocking rate by 1,500 stock units up towards the 6,000 that we're at now. So we recognise and support that some land use activities or people's behaviours in Southland are certainly accelerating water quality degradation, and that some activities should require consent to operate. But for the majority of hill country farmers, especially self-contained properties, we believe that investment in education and resources to improve sustainable good management practices in the hill country will produce much better results than the proposed rules in the plan. We've submitted on the plan to raise our concerns regarding practical implementation of the rules and costs that will fall on farmers to achieve compliance under the plan. And we'd now like to highlight the points.
Yep.
So I'll just bring up, Sarah's also
Before we started family, I previously worked at Territorial Authorities, so I just thought I'd let you guys know that, you know, I've seen my name in different places, and I'm currently working with Emma on the Southland Economic Project to TA report in regards to Gore District Council's representation. So I was Three Waters Manager at Gore up until about 18 months ago.
Okay. Yeah, so brief, what we're going to talk about is all been talked about this morning and what have you, but basically the farm management plans, cultivation and setbacks in the winter grazing, stock exclusion and riparian management. So with the farm management plans, we initially submitted against them for the reason being when we first looked at them, we thought they were requiring a lot of technical information and nutrient budgets and overseer and what have you. Since there has been the beef and lamb meetings and fed meetings, and it was talked about that they would more than likely be simplified into like a template system that would be could be filled out by just your average Joe farmer. So in summary, I can't see and what I've heard today and hearing in the roundabout, I can't see farm management plans not getting over the line, and we do support them. So I suppose we do support them in a simplified form that where the average Joe farmer can fill them out and not have to incur costs of engaging in a consultant just to do a farm management plan. Obviously the land sus team is getting more prominent out and about, and people are engaging with them, and we can see that the farm management plans and the land sus team will work together with farmers to achieve good environmental outcomes, and we believe that is going forward, that will be a good way without having to a farmer's having to engage in consultants and incurring a whole lot of cost and going down the resource consent path. So we believe that there is self-contained operations like our own that are just trying to get through a 12-month period of static stock numbers shouldn't be required to get resource consent to be able to winter their stock, especially when they're only cropping, you know, for our, in our situation, we need about 4 or 5% of our total land area and crop to be able to get through the winter. So I don't know, yeah, the blunt rule of capping on a per hectare basis, we're not really a fan of that. And there's been plenty of talk about it, you know, a lot of people would rather a percentage with a cap, so yeah. So in our opinion, the situation is different for every property, and there's definitely a difference between people who specialise winter grazing and bringing large numbers of stock onto their property in traditionally the wettest period of the year, and in our own personal opinion, those are the properties that would require resource consent. So yeah, basically what I'm saying there is that blanket blunt rules probably don't work for everybody, and we believe moving forward that basic straightforward farm management plans, working in relation with the land sus team, is a better way forward than blunt blanket rules. As you know, every property has its own pros and cons and own issues, and they probably need to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. With the setbacks and the winter grazing, our property, the majority of, a fair percentage of it is well over 9 degrees, being rolling hill country, and we already would have a lot of cultivated intensive paddocks that are over that, and possibly parts of them would be over the 20 degrees as well. So the cultivation setback and the winter grazing setback rules will really affect us, and we believe that we submitted that we think that any slope should have a maximum of 10 metre setback, especially on land that has already been cultivated and broken in. Otherwise, too much productive land that is currently in use will be lost to setbacks. You may think that 20 metres isn't a lot of land, but for us on lower intensive hill country, 20 metres on either side of a gully is quite significant to lose for cropping purposes. And for example, for us, you know, we'd have a number of paddocks where we'd have a gully up the middle of them, or two gullies, and the paddock may be 10 hectares in size, and if we were to move back 20 metres on either side of that gully and lose that for our cropping, it's quite a considerable amount of land. So we might, so 10 hectare effective paddock, we might only be able to crop down to 6 hectares effective, so in turn we're going to have to crop more paddocks to be able to achieve the same amount of crop to get us, just get us through winter. We realise that there does need to be setbacks, and riparian areas and catchments and what have you, but I believe it's, a lot of that is common sense stuff, and it will be picked up with the farm management plans and working with a land sus officer. So it's a wee bit of a degree of the case by case basis. And I know in our scenario, what we're doing today is far superior to what we were doing 10 years ago in regard to our winter management of stock around gullies and what have you. And I believe that, yeah, the blunt rules are just saying you need to be back 20 metres. It's very blunt and harsh, I believe. And what concerns me is if we've got these rules and then we have new grads coming out of, well, for example, like we in the agriculture sector. We have a lot of new grads coming out of Lincoln and what have you, working for fertiliser companies and banks and what have you, coming around dealing with farmers with generations of experience. And if we were to have the same here, new grads coming out, reading the rule book to farmers who have got knowledge and practical experience of what their farm can and can't do, just having the rule book thrown at us by new grads, that concerns me a bit. And I believe that the approach of like experienced land stuffs, experienced LSO, sorry, and working with farmers and farm management plans was a far better way than just the blunt rules. And you know, as I say, everybody's situation is different. For us, 90% of our sheep are on crop for only 30 days in total. You know, we all our sheep we pre-land shear, so they're not going. The majority of our stock are not going onto crop until August. And with August we've just had, it's quite easy. You know, it's quite easy to manage runoff and what have you, and it would be pretty frustrating to have these huge big setbacks when we could have had something a lot smaller that it would do the same job. Other issue on a stock exclusion on a property like ours, we support the exclusion of sheep from the stock exclusion rules. In the Hill Country, where there is a lot of natural gullies and so forth, exclusion of beef cattle from these gullies is near on impossible. In a lot of circumstances, that is the cattle's drinking water source, and we believe that if all cattle had to be excluded from Hill Country all the ways, it would be crippling and impractical to fence off the waterways. So I know in our place, like I say, we're quite extensive, we have a lot of gullies. And out the back, our beef cattle, they use those gullies as their natural water source. And a lot of those water sources are not large ones. They would all fit through a 350, 400 mil culvert. So I'm not sure how far the rules will go, whether or not, you know, there'll come a time where we have to fence that off, but I just see that totally impractical and very difficult to be able to get my head around. Lastly, the riparian management and the draft plan proposes that a riparian management plan is to be achieved by 2025. We believe that this is an extremely short time frame, bearing in mind the costs of fencing, planting and the achievability of this for Hill Country properties. We already have a lot of areas fenced off and in forestry and are happy with this and intend to do more if this would meet expectations for good management practices. But these things take time and we can't be achieved in 7 years. We think a better approach is that farmers can allow for riparian improvements year upon year within their farm management plans, and with ability to allow for poor income seasons, having a short deadline on this rule is impractical and unachievable. So yeah, once again, it's sort of like a case by case basis, and I believe that it's something that the farm management plan would pick up. And as long as you can demonstrate that you are doing something and doing a degree of fencing and riparian planting is you know, that will be picked up in the farm management plan, because at the end of the day, we all want better environmental outcomes. So basically, I suppose what I'm saying is that we realise that there'll be rules, and probably for our generation going forward, rules are going to become the norm, whereas my father's generation, they don't want to know about it. And they've been able to do what they want. And to be fair, you know, there's been some good things. And going forward, yeah, we believe there'll be rules, but they very much so need to be workable and not crippling. Yeah, so that's pretty much us, really.
Okay, thank you. See if we have questions for you, Morris, I think you're in.
Oh, thank you. On page 6 of your original submission, the bottom of page 6, you talk about the rule, this is rule 23, the intensive winter grazing, you mentioned it today, about the rule being based on permanent stock unit volume stated for the property. Can you elaborate on what exactly you mean by permanent stock unit volumes?
Yes, that was, we alluded to it today, I guess, as I was talking about having those self-contained properties, and if they're not bringing in extra stock or ramping up and down their stock volumes on the property in a 12-month period, and living within their means effectively, I guess, we feel that that should be acceptable, and that perhaps the rule should that are requiring discretionary activities or resource consents be more focused on the properties that are wintering or taking on contract stock and finishing and things like that, because the impact's quite variable.
So I'm just thinking about the term that you use, and is that something that everybody would understand, permanent stock, or is there some other?
No, it's probably a different term would be better.
I suppose it's like your capital stock, isn't it? In a form,
Capital stock would be another term.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yes, good morning. Are you? Do you think you're at maximum stocking right now? You've made quite an impressive.
It sounds good. Yeah, our property when we went there was there was a lot of undeveloped easy country that we've been able to develop. Like some of the stuff we've developed, the flattest paddocks we've got. It was 730 hectares. 180 of that is carries 100 cows, and they're running at 3 stock units to the hectare, and the rest is running at about 9 stock units to the hectare. So I believe we could probably bump up to another 200-400 stock units at the most, but I would consider the development that we've got in front of us is probably, we're probably more likely to feed our stock better than to increase the capacity a lot more.
What's your average winter cropping?
We're cropping about 30 hectares, and so there's 100 cows that don't see any crop, and there's probably 400 ewes that wouldn't see any crop either. So yeah, about that 4-5%, and that's, for us, that's quite comfortable.
Thank you.
Morris has asked my question.
Okay, Lloyd?
Just briefly, you've mentioned on the way through about the rules. Do you see these rules as being affecting everybody, or do you see these rules as helping those that are struggling with or not actually willing to come up to the standards that we want, to help them actually say that this is something that we actually want to do together?
I guess I find it very hard because I've got 2 hats, obviously. But I guess there has to be some sort of force, if I use the word, to make those people that still believe that some of the practices that are out there are acceptable, that are no longer acceptable probably in the eyes of our generation. They're still going to be out there in the industry. But I think there's also a lot of peer pressure starting to come on amongst neighbours and things like that, because people are becoming more knowledgeable and aware of what's going on because of so much information that's been out with this process.
The mirror image of that is there anything in the plan that you see or have seen that would actually stop innovation or good management practices being developed and implemented? Is there any hurdles that are too big?
Well, I think the concern with the hurdle is the financial investment in consents versus spending that money in on-farm investment and R&D development. And also, some of those people out there that aren't wanting to make changes on their property, some of that is also not knowing where to go for that sort of change and getting that advice or having exposure to the knowledge that's out there as well. Technology, for example.
Thank you. No questions.
And no further questions from me, but thank you very much again for putting in what I thought was a very thoughtful submission. You're obviously taking some time to prepare that, and you can be assured we'll be giving serious consideration to the issues you raise.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
We're here now until 12:45.